Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
Welcome to Idle Red Hands. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Lyle.
I'm Alan.
Hey, Alan. Welcome back.
Yeah, long time no see. I think it was like 5 years since we did the last Star Wars one. Man.
Yes. Force Awakens, so people can actually do the look at the calendars. So today we're going to be doing a review of The Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, among the many reviews.
Right.
Will ours be different?
Yeah, but this is kind of full circle because, 5 years ago, the three of us talked about...
We rebooted Idle Red Hands with A Force Awakens. So now that episode 9 is out, we'll do a review of that. We'll also be talking about the future of Star Wars. Talking a little bit about The Mandalorian. In that latter part, for The Rise of Skywalker, there'll be full spoilers. With The Mandalorian, no, not so much. Just be aware that there is a baby Yoda, which is not Yoda.
He's the child.
I love the people clarifying. He's like, not technically baby Yoda
No spoilers.
No, it's just like people are saying, it's like, well, he's actually a baby after Yoda died, so therefore, like, thanks.
But the thing is, how am I going to get my family to watch the show? I mean, I want to be like, hey, guys, you want to watch the new episode of the Baby Yoda show? And they're like, yes!
Yeah.
Baby Yoda, what's he going to do today? So, I don't know, it works.
All right, well, what we'd like to start with was a little bit of a baseline. Where are we coming into The Rise of Skywalker? What do we think of the sequel trilogy? Jeremy, where were you at?
Yeah, I was okay with Force Awakens. I was kind of like, okay, they're going to ease us into this and they're going to be gentle. And then Last Jedi was the most unpleasant movie-going experience of my life.
Wow.
I mean, it was really, really uncomfortable. Just I didn't understand why such a change in tone and such a weird shift, a small scale. A lot of bad humor that was just kind of falling flat and just kind of, the story didn't make a lot of sense. And and it was weird kind of just in the middle of a trilogy to do that. I, as a Star Wars story or something like Rogue One or Solo, I could understand it. But I really noticed that I don't care about this universe anymore. After watching, kind of where they thought they were going to take it.
I have a question for you about that. Watching that, what do you mean, where they're going to take it? Where did you think they were going to do it?
I didn't like the fact that they were trying to do, theming or kind of things that Star Wars really couldn't handle. When you're talking about the reinforcing of, failure is the greatest teacher and these odd things, they're just like, that's not Star Wars. There's optimism and there's good versus evil. And if you're going to try to make it too complicated, Star Wars doesn't handle that.
It did seem like they're trying to do everything you thought we were going to do, we're going to do the exact opposite.
Right.
Everything you thought Star Wars was, it's not. We're going to do something different.
Right, right, yeah.
And it's like they tried really hard to make it the polar opposite of what people expected. So it's kind of new and fresh and different. I know what you're talking about. And I've only seen it twice. I saw it in the theaters.
Oh, which one? Last Jedi?
Last Jedi. Okay. Yeah. And then I watched it again. I do a rewatch of all the movies and maybe some of the TV series, in chronological order, every couple of years.
Right.
Speaking of which, my most watched actor this year was Anthony Daniels.
I'm sure he's honored.
I mean, it's because I watched all the Star Wars movies and he's in every one of them. It's I'm going to save my judgment because I know it's the trilogy. I know there's going to be another movie. I know there's going to be something that's going to follow this. And that's going to really make it or break it for me. But, on its own, I'm not sure how I feel about it. Because of the fact that the whole movie was built on hype. And then it would just kind of, disappoint you with it. The whole movie is, them trying to do something and failing. So I wrote a little message for my wife at the beginning of Last Jedi saying, I wrote down...
Is that part of the crawl?
Well,
you'll be disappointed.
I'm gonna tell you what you're gonna think about this movie when it's done. And I wrote down, it all builds up to nothing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And yes. That's exactly what she thought.
Right.
Did you think that was a deliberate choice? Or were you saying like it builds up and fails? Like, do you think that was a Rian Johnson's choice? Is like, yeah, we're going to build it up for it to fail.
Well,
or are you talking about your own experience? It's like, oh, you're setting this up. Oh, you didn't do it.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean, like the fail? Like, you know, you're talking about the franchise or the outcome of the movie?
Well, the actual movie itself. Like you were saying, build up and fail, build up and fail. So it was like when you're talking about, I guess an example would be the Finn and Rose Tico subplot where they go to there, and
that's
of course it builds up, and then of course
there's also the Poe Dameron coup d'état thing.
So when you're talking about fail, you're talking about that, yeah, those plots failed deliberately, as far as like Rian Johnson was concerned, but you're also talking about it failed for you as a viewer.
Yeah, because like upon second watching, like there's no anticipation. You know that whatever they're going to do, all this bullshit that they're going through is going to just be like, it's going to amount to nothing, and there is really no purpose for it. Mm-hmm. You didn't need to spend as much time on it as you did. Mm-hmm. Now, there... You know, watching it, there are some merits to it. Because, of course, there's the party that thinks it's the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Yeah, I just don't understand that. I can understand thinking, I really liked it despite its flaws. The people are like, it's number one. Like, when I look at lists, and people... I mean, whether or not you're a gatekeeper depends where you are on a particular issue. You know, but like when people go, here's my list of best Star Wars movies, I'll skip ahead to number one. And if I see Last Jedi, I'm like, oh, I don't really need to see the rest of this list.
Right.
Yeah. We are clearly, you can be a Star Wars fan and have Last Jedi as number one, but we are clearly very different.
Yeah.
But I did like the Rose Tico Finn stuff because I really liked that it started to explore the world a little bit, the galaxy.
Yeah.
And that's something that was really lacking in all of Star Wars until that point.
Well,
not all Star Wars, but the new trilogy.
Until this point. Because Solo came afterwards, and I would argue that Solo also explores the world beyond.
Well, the prequels do amazingly.
The political stuff, yeah.
But, like, I'm talking about the, like, Force Awakens, and we really don't see anything, because, like, they go and they blow up the New Republic and everything like that. They just destroy all that planets. The Republic's gone, but we really don't see it. Mm. We don't experience with it. We don't know what we just lost at all.
Right.
And
yeah, I think it was a big fail to have both the Republic and the Resistance. We talked about that in that episode.
Yes.
It was so what's the Republic? What's the Resistance? And we don't know what it is. So, is there a loss that they blew up the Republic?
Because it is still a big deal. It's a huge deal.
Well,
it's like,
there's still the Resistance, which apparently is very separate.
Blowing up Coruscant, pretty much.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, like you said, like what you're alluding to is like, What does that really mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and to be fair, like the same thing happened in the original Force, the New Hope, man, when they blew up Alderaan, like back in the day. You just saw them blow up a giant ball,
right? But they,
we didn't know that there was people on it. We didn't know what those people were like. We didn't know that culture, and
they blew up Princess Leia's planet,
yeah,
and that's all that mattered about Alderaan. And then afterwards, comic books and
the prequels
and the Clone Wars and that built up what Alderaan actually was. But yeah, as far as like Alderaan was to the A New Hope, it's just a planet where Princess Leia has a connection to.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and that's all that matters. And then, but yeah, once you get to the sequel trilogy, I think the Republic needs more because you already have the prequels and the regular trilogy plus everything else. So people kind of know that the Republic is kind of a big deal. You also have the video game or computer game, Knights of the Old Republic. So people are kind of aware of, hey, it's something. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's 60 years? 30 years in the future, like from Return of the Jedi.
Is it 30 or 20? I think between the prequels and the New Hope, it's 20. All I know is like everybody forgets about the Jedi. And the Force.
I think it's 30 years. Yeah. 30 years.
So that's like that's a large chunk of history that we just didn't know anything about.
Right.
And there was no real development in that. And I think, as I said, it's similar to the New Hope because, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin comes in and just says that the Emperor dissolved the Senate, and it's just like, I never caught that. That never meant anything to me until
you know,
like now.
But I think you raise a couple good points. One, like just what you raised right now is that if you're a brand new movie it can like drop all of these Clone Wars, the Senate, you know, and you don't necessarily have to explain it. Or it doesn't have to mean much. All the meaning is just contained within what it means to that particular movie and that particular story. So the Clone Wars was just something where Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker met.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Anakin Skywalker is just Luke's father for that particular movie. The Senate is just something that's an obstacle that's quick, you know, shut aside. That's all it means. So you don't have to go, whoa, what about that? But then once you start building upon this world, and maybe this is a problem with what with Disney and their planning, is, I don't know, maybe they didn't understand how much was built or what to do with it. And once you get to a certain point, you're like, okay, we have this IP. This IP has actually this much. When George Lucas did it, he was like growing the IP. He could just keep throwing stuff and adding and adding and adding. And they're like, well, we actually now it's, I don't know, bloated or not bloated, but it's there. So things, we can't just throw things out. We have to connect it or explain what it means. So we can't just throw out the Republic and people just go, oh, I guess the Republic is different from the Resistance, because people already have an idea what the Republic means.
Yeah.
And the other point you raised, and I didn't think of this at all until you said it, was what rewatchability.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I knew the original trilogy, there's a lot of rewatchability, I guess. They probably didn't plan it that way. But when doing like The Last Jedi, and somebody like Rian Johnson, he's used to making like Looper or Brick. And those movies, like,
it's like M. Night Shyamalan, what the twist.
Yeah, exactly. It's like those are like, you watch Sixth Sense and maybe you want to watch it again, sure. But are you going to watch it the third time? I doubt that. Mm. And The Last Jedi is like, very much built up. When it's built upon subverting tropes and expectations,
right.
That's great. I didn't think it was great. But but I mean, that can be great for a lot of people. But then, like, when you watch it the second time, you've just robbed people of a lot of things. Like, they can't, I know what's going to happen. I know they're going to go to the casino, but there's no point. But so is that casino experience enjoyable? Mm. Is the Poe Dameron subplot, was there like lines there, like killing Snoke? Is any of that enjoyable upon a rewatch?
Yeah.
I've only seen it once. I have no desire to see it again.
I forget her name. The one, the lady from Jurassic Park.
Laura Dern.
Yeah.
So she played Admiral Holt.
Holt, yeah.
Holdo.
And, you know, they set her up.
Holdo.
Like,
Holdo.
Chapter from Holdo's perspective. Like the way they filmed it, they really did film it that we were in the perspective of Poe, and she seemed like an enemy, and like she was over whispering in the corner and like talking behind his back. And
right.
They really set it up to make it that feeling, and they were very successful in doing that. But like, and then they reveal, like, oh, no. Poe's stupid. You're stupid for liking him. Yeah. She was right all along. learn from your mistakes, kids. Bad boy. And it's just like, man, now you're just trying to make your audience feel stupid.
That's a good point. When you have your point of view characters getting scolded, the audience is getting scolded.
Right? Yeah. They really did make it. Like seem like she was talking behind his back by excluding us, and that was like a perfect I guess I don't know, maybe it's just a modern form of film technique and storytelling, because people don't want anymore they don't want crossing the threshold, finding your mentor, getting the elixir. That's become so like cliche that they want that type of unreliable diversion skewed perspective. I like Last Jedi more now.
What?
After watching.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So yeah, we should say like we don't know each other's opinions on The Rise of Skywalker. We've kept
I haven't said anything.
Yeah, we haven't said anything to each other. Wow, I'm shocked. you've subverted my expectation. Just give a very quick baseline. I thought A Force Awakens was too derivative. And I didn't like Last Jedi. It wasn't quite the worst movie going experience of my life. I wasn't a fan. I would say for this, man, especially for The Rise of Skywalker, really like kind of so meta. Yeah. And I think I was kind of avoiding that. It was like when it was revealed that there was a black stormtrooper for A Force Awakens. Yeah, okay, sure. But people are like, people are like building up, I'm not going to like A Force Awakens because there's a black stormtrooper. Right. Of course, other reasons, sure. But like people kind of came with an opinion to a lot of these movies prior.
Right.
And maybe but especially with Rise of Skywalker. So people were like, I hate Last Jedi, so if it's, you know, so I want Disney to fail.
Right.
And then people were like, I love Last Jedi, so, oh, no, it's Ryan, J.J. Abrams, and the story is like he's going to change Last Jedi. I hate it already. And I wasn't immune to that, like kind of the meta thing, but I was almost like, well, Last Jedi really didn't give the next person a lot to go with.
No.
Last Jedi was very conclusive.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, going into Rise of Skywalker, I was very sympathetic. I was like, lower the bar, you know, just put the bar on the ground. You know, I'm going to be, okay, sure. So I was really, really, really sympathetic. And that was my meta going into the Rise of Skywalker is, you know, you're going to have to be really bad for me to like put the thumbs down on this.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, like, you know, it's not only Star Wars, but, you know, there's Captain Marvel and other things where they become these like cultural battlegrounds.
Yeah,
sure.
So it's not really about the movie. It's about who wins this particular battle. I think Last Jedi might have opened their eye, like Disney's eyes, to like just how durable Star Wars is as an IP. And it's like, yeah, it actually isn't Teflon.
Yeah, right.
Like you can actually damage this IP to the point where you do lose people.
Right.
And they might wait till like a streaming service, which is a revenue, but it's not as much revenue as you're going to get for people that are going to go in the first weekend movie studios get the higher percentage. Well, let's we'll talk about the future of Star Wars at the end, but what about Rise of Skywalker?
The first line of the crawl, the dead speak, kind of an odd tone to set.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I got there and it's like, I mean, that had already been revealed. And I guess it had been revealed through Fortnite.
Fortnite was, you wanted to hear the message. Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
At last, the work of generations is complete. The great error is corrected. The day of victory is at hand. The day of revenge. The day of the Sith.
Trying to get, you know, kids that are playing Fortnite and can't get off their computers into the movie theater, and I don't know how successful.
With the trailer, I mean, I try to avoid trailers just because, and actually, The Force Awakens was the reason why I had this like trailer rule, is because I watched The Force Awakens trailers, and then I was like, oh, all the good shots were in the trailers. Mm. So this movie really, I mean, it's A New Hope Part 2, or Mark 2. Mm-hmm. So it really relied on the visuals, and they've already been spoiled for me. So ever since then, I just like tried not to watch any movies trailers, but I caught like that Palpatine had voice, and then like, well, no, Palpatine's not in there, and
right.
He's dead, and the actor, Ian, what's his name? Ian Dermond?
Ian McDermott?
Dermott. Yeah. Saying like, yeah, no, I'm apparently I'm dead, or whatever.
Yeah.
But you like didn't believe it, so it's just like get out of the way in the opening crawl. Like, Palpatine's alive, and I actually respected that. I was just like, I actually appreciated that. It's just like, okay, good. We don't have to like pretend that. Is Palpatine alive?
It's not gonna be a surprise.
There. So it's just like Palpatine's alive. Yeah. They're looking for him. I liked how that opened. What did you think though?
I thought it was an odd tone, and the whole thing. I mean, I guess they were trying to give it a retro, like a weird line as a retro feel of an old serial where they would just say odd things. You know, there would just be an odd hook at the beginning.
Yeah.
To introduce something, but then that. Just led, there was such a weird momentum of the whole movie, and starting right off the bat, things just move so fast.
Have you ever watched Clone Wars?
Yeah, that was reminding me of that too,
Right, exactly.
The galaxy at war.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Admiral.
Because I think that's what Clone Wars was trying to do. Yeah, because even though the voice, you know, the voice that was reading that, tried to make it more 40s.
But that's what Star Wars is doing. It was doing the old Flash Gordon.
Of course. Yeah, but I think I guess they did do that as a reveal, but that was odd. Mm-hmm. And then like kind of a different tone than the films had done before. And then the momentum of the film, the speed of the film. And actually, I think we should take our review and do like 250% speed so you get the feel of our description of the movie and the pace of that movie. Because
hello, and now, yeah, here's what I liked about Rise of Skywalker, isn't it?
Because it was just nonstop. It was just, it felt more like a Transformers movie, or
that's a good point, yeah. In that, like, the Transformers movies kind of build, and then the last the third act is
right.
Just,
yeah, just
like,
crazy,
just, you know, yeah, frenetic, but
nonsense.
But here, yeah, visuals. It started with a lot of and I can see some people not liking that, where it just went jump. But I like that. But I like that about Rogue One, and people are critical about Rogue One, where it was like, they don't really set up these planets. They just like jump from planet to planet to planet. And I was like, I like
cool.
that.
Yeah. You know, I thought that was cool. Planet they were at and everything like that. Yeah. You know?
Mm. In Rise of Skywalker, I thought, yeah, let's do this. Mm. And it was a lot of like jumping. And I've seen some criticisms. It was like, they're doing that so you don't think about the plot. And I'm like, yeah, you know, but that if they can do it fast enough or successfully enough, then, and you don't think about the plot, like most movies, when you go slow down, I want to really think about the plot holes, you're gonna find plot holes, right. I mean,
and maybe
that was, like Star Wars, it was like, are any of these movies flawless? No.
Right. It reminded me the most, I think, of the beginning of Star Trek Into Darkness, that tone. Okay. So they set up this, like, okay, this is a wacky adventure that the crew is having, and it's really, really fast paced, and you're right into it right away, and it sets up kind of a little theme or a little thing that they call back to later, but it's really, really fast way to jump into the movie, and it doesn't feel like Star Trek. And so in the same way, this felt like, we're going to Star Wars the Star Wars out of this Star Wars at the beginning. I mean, that was the tone of it. I was like, okay.
Well, that's three Star Wars. That's even more Star Wars. Yeah,
it was.
Well, you raise a good... Sorry, Alan, I'll just be quick. You raise a really good point. It was like, it didn't feel like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek.
Yeah, Star Trek.
So
yeah.
It was like, and I think that's what people like, again, it's the meta, people go in, does it feel like Star Wars?
I think it was very reminiscent of something like episode 3, like where it starts off with a big galactic battle it was just like non-stop, and then they go in and Grievous is attacking, and that's then suddenly true. They're fighting Dooku's
gone
and it's like this
big crash
definitely reminiscent of that. Not so much Jedi started off slow. So, you know, in that sense, it's a bit different. But it felt like, and people will probably not like it because of this, but it felt a lot like the prequels to me.
In many respects, felt like its own movie. I'll disagree. I think Star Wars, a lot of the movies have a real pacing issue. Mm. Like even the most perfect, like with Empire Strikes Back or A New Hope, which are often like in like one or two in people's lists, right? But you know, it's like it starts exciting and then it goes slows down. When you finished, did you like Rise of Skywalker? Did you think it was good or bad? Like you had a choice, Alan.
I enjoyed it for the most part. I enjoyed it.
Mm. Well, yeah, I think it's a movie experience because we saw,
and that's what I'm asking.
We saw IMAX 3D, and I can enjoy just about anything in IMAX 3D. So I think it was enjoyable, but the it felt a little more hollow than Star Wars has felt before, as far as like the set pieces and what, you know, they set up these scenes that really didn't mean anything. It's just like, okay, we want to do something cool, and fine, okay, that's fine. But now you're making a Star Wars movie more like more like the kind of standard, just crank it out summer movie.
Okay,
yeah. And I felt that they kind of are going away from like what they're able to do with Marvel movies, being able to like balance humor and drama and have compelling stories. I think they're kind of going away from that because they're not able to. I think the Marvel movies are doing what Star Wars movies used to do, and now Star Wars is having to find some weird balance that doesn't work as well.
It's weird because a lot of the Marvel movies for me, and like I'll go and watch them and enjoy them, you know, or not all of them, but I enjoy a lot of them, and then I never need to say that again. I can't think. I've rewatched maybe the first Iron Man.
Like, I want to know, like, what scenes, though, that you thought were a little hollow. Like,
So the stuff that was kind of spoiled in the trailer where you're like, wow, I can't wait to see what this is going to be like in the movie. And you're like, oh, well, what? It didn't.
You're talking about, like, the Rey running thing?
Yeah, like, or the fighting the little, the track bikes with the jetpacks. It's like, that was just
the sell toys.
Yeah, it was just kind of flashy.
They're not selling toys though.
Yeah. They didn't make those. Did they make those?
Right. So a lot of the stuff that I was like, oh, that should be a real memorable scene, or I can't wait to see like how this builds or what the consequences are of this big action thing. It was nothing.
But I liked it. You know, I thought it was enjoyable. Again, I went in with like thinking, hey, you know, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, you didn't have much, so I went. I enjoyed it. I really liked that it was like really fast at the beginning. And yeah, like did I love flying stormtroopers? No, not especially.
Right.
They fall in, and hey, we've happened to stumble upon the Sith blade, and it's just like, whoa. C-3PO reads it and is like, I cannot tell you. So that leads to another thing.
It's like just a MacGuffin hunt the entire time. And that's what a lot of people said, and they criticize it for it. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong about that.
But, you know, here's what I'll say is, I mean, I talked about this in a previous cast, and I was like, Star Wars, like, again, with my son helping to remind me of what Star Wars was to be, Star Wars was likable characters and cool ships, right? Mm-hmm. And
they provided.
Yeah.
And, do you mean Guardians of the Galaxy? Stay on target.
Oh my God. You know what I saw the other day? It was like Chris Pratt. Stay on target. I'm not a Chris Pratt hater. Uh-huh. But the ending of Guardians of the Galaxy was doing that dance. And like, people are like, yeah, there was a like funny Mary Poppins line. But anyway, I'm off track. So what was it? What was that? Oh,
cool
but yeah. But they had
perspective of your kids and ships, right. Cool characters, right?
So cool ships. So when you're talking about that, Rey versus the TIE fighter,
right.
It's a cool TIE fighter.
It's a cool TIE fighter.
And yeah, she does like the little flip, and she does
it.
Yeah,
and it was different than the trailer.
And it was cool, you know.
Trailer, she just jumped over, right? But here she like slices the wing off.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So they saved that like 2 seconds
for us.
But what I really liked about the beginning is like we got to see, and gosh, we keep forgetting. Well, how about that exchange? You know, in the ice asteroid. Remember, they got to get that secret plan.
Oh, the data.
So like,
yeah.
Harry, we got to do it.
I thought
that was really well done. It was really exciting. And the TIE fighters are coming in. But we got to see great chemistry between Finn, Poe, and Rey. And it was like, this is what we actually were setting up in A Force Awakens. We didn't get it in Last Jedi. Now we're going to deliver. And I'm like, these three actors are likable. They have chemistry.
Yeah. That was one of the highlights for me. And that's what I really liked, having them together. And I think that's one of the reasons that I like Last Jedi a little bit more now. Because we don't get to enjoy... We wouldn't enjoy it as much... if we did, since we were deprived of it in the Last Jedi, we were deprived of it. They were apart the whole movie. And then by the time they get back together in the third movie, we're just like, we love this. And I think like we appreciate it more because we saw them apart so much. We saw them go through all that shit. And now they're together again. And that's why I enjoy.
I did think about that, but I was wondering, is that a meta thing or is it an intended thing?
Yeah,
and I think it was more of a...
Well, I think J.J. Abrams... kind of realized that we saw them apart so long, put them back together,
right?
And I think that worked well for the series.
Yeah, no,
right?
I'll give I'm not a big J.J. Abrams fan, but I'll give him credit in that. And you heard it from the actors. The actors like were like, for example, Daisy Ridley was really happy that he came back, and I think he just has a way of working with the actors, and whether he was coaxing a better performance, Oscar Isaacs is like being very critical now.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, they wouldn't give us the gay Finn.
Jumbo, yeah, you
like, where did that come from? Because I know where it came from. But you're like watching Force Awakens, like, they clearly love each other. And I'm like, what?
Well, yeah.
Nah, man.
People can't like each other?
It's either
the hate and love. Now he wants the bone.
Right.
Yeah, but I was a Finn Rey shipper for a little while there, man.
Yeah, I thought that was more.
I thought that was, but
yeah,
I was happy with where it ended up. It's a big hug between the three of them.
All right,
I like that.
Did you notice with those characters though? Because I think they're cast well. I think they've got good chemistry. They were good performances. But those characters though, between the three movies, didn't change much at all.
No, zero arcs.
That's really bizarre. And not even like costume changes. I mean, like John Boyega had like braids at this movie, and that's a little bit of a change. Like his hair was a little looser, a little longer, like slightly. But he was wearing the same jacket. Nobody, and like Ray didn't have anything that she was dealing with. She had the same outfit. That was very odd. You know, because that was the thing that they did interestingly in all three, I guess, both of the other trilogies.
Yeah.
Is Anakin was, you know, a different actor and between two of them and looked different.
And he went from like white to black clothes.
Right. And no, you know, and yeah, Ray and Kylo. I mean, Kylo even put his mask back together.
And even Luke Skywalker, that was like a whole trend with like him in the black clothes going to the dark side. But then, you know, like flip open that little button and it reveals a little bit of white.
There we go.
And he's going back to the light, man.
That's it. I both agree and disagree.
Yes.
And here's the thing with the original trilogy, there wasn't a plan,
right?
You know, like Lucas said it was okay. Yeah, you have a brother like tonguing sister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the second movie, obviously you didn't know they were going to be brother and sister. You kind of like went along, and like Han Solo, he has his arc in the first movie,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So but what they did in the first trilogy, it was like they gave Luke the arc. Nobody else really has an arc. It's like Princess Leia is like a strong, independent woman, and she ends as a strong, independent woman, right?
Yeah, right.
Who lost a little bit of weight. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it was. And then Han Solo was like, he's a rascal or a scoundrel at the beginning of the first movie, and he's a good guy at the end of the first movie, and he stays a good guy.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
And then in the prequels, like, they planned that out, right?
Yeah,
and almost like it was all planning, and then they kind of forgot, well, we need likable people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was like, that's very much, we've got an arc right there. Not only like Anakin Skywalker, but you also say it was Obi-Wan Kenobi's arc as well.
Yeah.
As well as Palpatine.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Palpatine, that's a good point. And here, yeah, you're absolutely right. Nobody gets an arc. Yeah, well, I think what happened there is like, what happened in the second movie is clearly not what J.J. Abrams wanted to happen for those particular characters, or maybe Rey, maybe Rey is fine, you know, where she does her thing, and then they're like, well, she didn't do enough. You know, I thought she did like plenty of training, I guess. Like you see her do more training than Luke, but yeah, you don't see her have any setbacks. So that's the problem with her arc. Everything is like in The Empire Strikes Back, Luke is like, oh, I'm gonna abandon my training to go face Darth Vader to save my friends, and I fail. I lose my hand. Where she never fails. It was always like, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna beat Kylo Ren, and then I'm gonna do it again, and I'll beat him again. And actually, that was something that somebody brought up. I was like, you know what's great about the Star Wars movies is the villains. So you got like Darth Vader, you got the Emperor, and or even Count Dooku is a really memorable villain.
Asajj Ventress.
Snoke obviously isn't the villain. Mm-hmm. He isn't the villain that you're going to gravitate towards. And then Kylo Ren was like, well, he's an anti-hero.
He was never Sith.
Yeah, he's not.
He was never a Sith. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have those Sith eyes. Kylo Ren never had that. Like, he was always trying really hard to kind of go to the dark side and become a Sith. But I think, like,
I think that was a major mistake. What they made is, like, they created this anti-hero, which is fine, right? Like, this kind of torn guy. But then you have things like Luke Skywalker, like, trying to kill him.
Stay on target.
Yeah, so the beginning, I guess, I really appreciate that to do that. I thought it was a really good C-3PO act.
Sure.
That first act, it was like, or maybe even the second act.
In the end, man, he's sitting there looking at everybody, and it's kind of, it was a
I
nice,
want to
like,
remember
goodbye.
My friends, and you're like,
yeah, I liked it.
But they weren't his friends. But when you think about it, the scene worked for me, but it was like, you think about it, they're not your friends.
Right,
they don't like you at all.
Yeah, I know.
You've had some, I'm here, thank you.
C-3PO, it's C-3PO, and he believes they are, and that's what makes it good.
Yeah.
And then, this is like, what, the second, at least as we know of the second time his mind got wiped, I think they should have left it that way to begin with, because I loved it when he rebooted and he came up. He's like, "Hello, nice to meet you. I'm CP." And it's funny. Like, we got good
and
old.
And then was that little creature, and he's like, "I'm Bogus." And you're like, "Wow, that guy's cute, or that thing is cute."
Yeah, it's
that worked for me. And it was just, you're like, I give C-3PO his moment, and so that was good. Then there was the Zoss. What's her name? Zori? No, Zori. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Yeah. No, I didn't mind. I didn't mind the fact that was it Carrie Russell? Was it not Carrie Russell? And who they did? I mean, she was fine. Mm-hmm. That particular character. And if they wanted to drop it in, I mean, there's like more cynical thing.
I like that scene though. I like that little town where they're in there like knocking on the doors and having their present. I thought that was really good. You know, as you said, everything goes by so quickly, but I don't know.
But
I
it
like
was fun. And people are like, "Oh, this could have been two movies." And you're like, I get it. Like it was if the third movie had to provide the setup that the second movie didn't. But I don't know if there was like enough to like pad out like two movies with that. And yeah. It was fine. It was like, you introduce her. She has a past with Poe Dameron. Do we need to expand that more? And then she's like, "Here's this thing that's going to get you onto the thing, get you onto that particular Star Destroyer." And like, do I need more? Do I need more than that? Does the person have to like? I'm like, "Wow, that's convenient." And you're like, "Yeah, that's the fucking movies. Movies are convenient."
Yeah.
Actually watch Gary. You remember the Gary Shandling Show?
Stay on target.
And it was a really, really, really good episode where it opens and he was like, "Oh wow, you came at a bad time." Because all this interesting stuff happened last week, but right now, no, there's nothing going on right now. And it's like, that's what a movie is. You came at a good time.
Yeah, right.
And it's going to be, like, there's going to be a lot of convenient stuff. And it's, like, if it's not convenient, like, it's not a movie. So, that was convenient, but that was fine. But what I didn't like is this Chewbacca thing. Like, what was going on there?
Oh, the fake out?
The
like,
fake
he's
out
dead?
Yeah, it was like, first he get, like, gets... captured like a wuss.
Like, Chewbacca!
It was like, Chewbacca walks out and then like, "Oh, we caught you."
Yeah, and he doesn't like, "Wah, he doesn't tear them apart."
Yeah, it's like, it's like, "Oh, you got me." And then it was like, then they shoot
and
something.
And what's this? this is over 5-inch blade in your Wookiee bag there, fella.
Oh, yeah.
They had to like do that, yeah.
Like,
and then
they shoot
the ship, and then it was like, "Oh, Chewbacca's dead, but he's not dead." And just that was like so poorly done. I don't even know why they would do that.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just say, "Oh, there's something on that Star Destroyer that we need to get"?
So do you think that, I mean, they had to kill Princess Leia because there couldn't be more Carrie Fisher, and they killed Kylo, but do you think that they backed away from killing other main characters just because they thought there was more licensing and merchandising and... You know,
I don't think they're going to do much with those characters.
Yeah, but isn't it odd though that they didn't, because they could have.
I mean,
really.
They could have killed Chewbacca. Like, are you going to keep bringing that guy back? Like,
right.
No, you're not.
Yeah. That would have been such a wild way to go, though. You know, is that it really?
Right.
And I almost wanted it to happen after
it did. Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah.
Well,
pretty
is that no? I
but
mean,
but
it's
at
like,
the same time,
there's a lot of like, oh. No, there was no consequence. It was okay, well, Chewbacca's... No, he's not dead. And then it was C-3PO's mind's what? No, it's not really. It's going to get rebooted. And it was... What was the other one?
The entire planet that Zori was on was destroyed. The droid Smith and
everybody's
off on time. Yeah. And it's like, Kylo Ren's dead, but he's not dead. Everybody saves each other.
But I think the Kylo Ren stuff, that worked out fine for me. And also, I think it would have been disrespectful to the character to make Chewbacca go out like that.
Yeah, like
especially
a chump.
After the actor that played him for so long just died prior to that.
Yeah, but you didn't have to like.
I mean, for the sake of the story,
you could have had like him walk out and then, "Oh no, Chewbacca's like, he's fighting them all."
Yeah.
Oh no, well, he's telling us to go.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And then they take off on the ship or whatever. They don't need to like.
The big reveal,
you know,
was
they could have had like
the...
him like ripping apart the. Remember the Knights of Ren? Mm-hmm. They didn't really do much. I guess at the end they did something, but it was like, there's Chewbacca tearing apart.
Yeah, half just of have the Knights him fight of Ren, with Chewbacca, know? And then they take off, and they think he's dead, but then he comes back later with like one of the Knights of Ren's like helmets or something like that, and like chucks it on the ground. And
just, like, starts, like... I mean, yeah, that would have been better than what they had. Like that
it's
was
like he didn't die.
That was a big fail. Like what they did with Chewbacca was a pretty big fail.
I think the reveal though was supposed to be her with the Force lightning. That was what they were trying to do.
I heard one spoiler. Yeah, like she's got the Force lightning and she takes out the entire Star Destroyer fleet. And then people laughed in the test screening, so then they have to change it.
Wow.
That I mean, it's a rumor. Yeah, the rumor was there, like, she goes like, you know what like Palpatine does?
Yeah,
where he does the... He takes out a bunch of the resistance ships with his Force lightning. But it was actually like that's how she destroys everything. It's like she goes... And and I think, I mean, it's good that they changed that if that was what the intended ending is. So like everybody has like their moment. Like Finn has his moment.
Hmm.
Poe has his moment. And then she has her moment as well. But I mean, that's important. It's like those three all get their moment. Kylo Ren goes... Yeah, your parents are nobody. You're nobody. And then in Last Skywalker, I was like, well, you know, they wanted to be nobody because if you knew your... Yeah, I was like, that was good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, you know, I like the movie Battleship.
Stay on target.
When they do like that grid and it was like, oh, okay, well, we'll do A35 fire missile. And I'm like, you know, all right, good enough for me. You know, you tried. Yeah. You tried A for effort on that one, you know. So for me, that was like, okay, you it's not like Kylo Ren goes, what? Did I say nobody? No, I don't remember that. Oh, did I say that? Oh, I was just joking. Yeah, I was just joking. Like, they tried to, like, have him go, no, well, I said that to kind of help you. And, you know, I thought, okay, good enough. I mean, you were given, like, nothing to work with, and you made some. So.
Nice.
A little slow clap on that one.
Yeah.
So I was fine with that.
Yeah. What about the whole... the dyad thing? Like, so as a person who's, you've read legendaries, you've read the new canon. I like new canon, but you've read a lot more legendaries as I have. So like, has something like a dyad in the Force ever been a thing before?
I just think they just like, honestly, they just introduce stuff. I was reading a Marvel comic, one of the new ones or newish ones by Charles Soule, and it was like, oh, what? There's two Darth Vader comics. There's Darth Vader and there's Darth Vader
Dark Lord of the Sith.
Dark Lord of the Sith, and that's what it was.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Recent issues that are the ones that I read recently. They introduced an entirely new character, and it's like gets into the Sith and that, and I'm like, oh, that's all new to me. Yeah, they're gonna introduce stuff. Like, I mean, she's healing stuff net left and right, and you're like, okay, sure.
That would have been helpful for Anakin when he's like found
Raiders.
Oh, like, and that's why he descended to the dark side, is because of his obsession with trying to like save people.
Right. Mm. And now she could just do it. Well, the thing is, it's like they've already established that.
Does that mean Palpatine could also do it?
No, but they've already established like people, like for example, Qui-Gon Jinn is the first like Force ghost Jedi, right? So they already established like people. Different Jedi can get different powers and be better at certain things. And it was like Anakin was like the best Jedi.
Mm.
Like he had the most powers. But then, you know, so they kind of established like people can do different stuff. And, sure. You know, do I have a problem with Rey being the best Jedi of all time? No, you know, whatever, you know. Of course, you know, you're the last Jedi. What? Roll credits. You're the last Jedi. So you are going to be the best, because you're not going to have, oh, actually, like 7 movies ago was the best Jedi.
Yeah, right.
Kind of like some schlub. I'm going to try to like take on Palpatine by myself. So yeah. So can she heal stuff? I was like, yeah, sure. But yeah, that would have been handy.
I think I'm
for
not sure
Anakin,
if
but really
talk about it. But like, it seems like it comes at a cost, because you know his. Kylo, man, he pretty much
gave
up the life that his mother gave him to Rey.
Well, I mean, there can be a complaint. Like, it was
Skywalkers,
like
Skywalkers, mm-hmm. like Luke sacrificed himself to save his sister and her little peoples. His sister sacrificed herself to give life to Kylo, and then Kylo gave his life to Rey. So, you know, in a way, she has become a Skywalker through this kind of exchange of.
And Rey gave life to that worm, and that worm.
Yeah. Kind of like fart now. The worm is
also a Skywalker. I think it's a good point. And actually, you know, maybe if they had done it where Leia has the Force, mm-hmm. and then she gives it to Kylo, and then you're like, oh, like kind of like it's all coming from Leia, because we all knew that she was a Force user. Maybe right. that was her half part of the Skywalker thing, is this kind of life healing, and then Kylo passes it on to Rey, mm-hmm. but then they have the worm thing, so she already had it. But then, when you're like, she had it, so you're like, okay, so she's the most powerful Jedi because she has it, and then you're like, oh, but so does Princess Leia, and so does Kylo. Where do they get that? Actually, I didn't think about that, but yeah, that kind of weakens it a little bit. Well, where it's like, which one? Which way do you want to go? Do you want to go, it's a Skywalker thing, or do you want to go like Rey's got it because she's the most powerful? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's something that they talk about in the Revenge of the Sith. You know, that's the whole opera scene where Palpatine's talking to Anakin about someone who can bring someone who can use the Force to bring someone back from the dead. Someone who can use the Force to create new life, and that's kind of I think it's trying to play off of that.
You know, I mean. I think this is a problem with Rise of Skywalker. There's a lot of people like, my first reaction is this, but I need to rewatch it. And I'm like, do you?
Yeah.
You can't watch a movie once and then have an opinion? Right. Well, I mean, there's some movies where you can, sure, you could watch The Big Lebowski over and over and over. But, I mean, that's a different kind of movie.
But I watch Star Wars over and over and over again. And if you just want to, like...
But the thing is, like, does your opinion change? It was like, sometimes. I like
it. Yeah, sometimes I like it less. A lot of times.
Seven
I like
times
it less.
In, I'm starting to like this movie. I think there's
sometimes
something.
Sometimes, you know, you get the first impressions, and it's just like, I feel like I went in there with what's the expression? With rose-tinted glasses, or I had glitter in my eyes, and then like now that I'm like out of the theater on level ground, I can kind of have mm-hmm. more sober perspective.
Sure.
I feel like I was just.
But do you need
full
a
of beans high on something? Man.
Okay, sure. But do you need a sober perspective to like watch movies? I mean, it's the movie. Like, did it blow you away? And it's just like, well, it blew me away. But like, now I gotta ease up.
Like,
let me watch it again.
Like,
and it's just like, okay, all right. A little more cynical reading was like, I see some plot holes. I don't think John McCain. Or McLean.
Or McCain.
McCain. Yeah. I could have picked up those guns. Sorry.
things change.
I was going to say John McClane could have walked across
things
that glass.
Things change with multiple viewings. Things change.
Oh, absolutely.
Like your point in life and stuff like that. Like
maybe things have changed.
Maybe more Star Wars has come out and they might kind of connect things and change their perspective on stuff. So, you know, I saw it the one time. And, I had a general good impression of it.
But I guess my point was, like, people are like, I didn't really get it, so I got to watch the movie again. And you're like, I think you should be able to get a movie the first time you watch it.
I think Rise of Skywalker did what it had to do. And it concluded 40 years worth of material.
Mm.
And it tied a nice little bow on top of it.
Yeah. Okay. Yes and no. Sure, it concluded. I don't think it had to. I think it was already concluded at the end of Return of the Jedi. Yeah. And then it was, and you're like, oh, here's Anakin Skywalker's arc. And then like, oh, okay, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Didn't need that. And then you get like a little line from like Caden Christensen. It's like, come on, Rey, get up.
Oh, man, come on, I love that scene.
Apparently, they were supposed to have Anakin Skywalker's Force Ghost in this.
There was a lot of rumors of things that were supposed to be in it.
But they had, apparently...
There's the J.J. Abrams cut.
The Abrams cut.
There's going to be an...
Hashtag
Abrams. There was like that rumor for like about 2 days. And then the new rumor was, oh, they're going to be releasing Abrams cut. It was like first like Abrams is so angry and he hates it. And then it was like, oh, but maybe Disney Plus is going to have it.
What is the one that they're leaking now? The script from...
Colin Trevorrow's script leaked. And also... So that was just recently. But did you also see... the treatment that Alan Dean Foster wrote a treatment for this movie, and Rey is a droid. That's why she's so good with the Force.
Wow, that was
Force droid.
Yeah,
kiss me, kind of.
Oh, what did you think of the kiss? What did you think that was? what I didn't, they didn't spend enough time with their kind of what the situation was,
you know, like
with
Star
their
romantic. Kind of asexual.
Yeah.
So. It's just, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I was like, has Luke? Did Luke ever have sex?
Right.
Before he died, and it was just he's kind of really enthusiastic with that milk. So maybe not. So yeah, I mean,
oh, that's
like,
so depressing.
I mean, if you watch that, it was like Han Solo and Princess Leia were virgins until they had like Ben,
right?
You
right.
know, and like Chewbacca's quite content to like live like a celibate lifestyle. So yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
that was. Yeah, I think we probably.
Lando, man, Lando.
Yeah,
well, Lando. Yeah,
where are
macking
you from?
On his daughter. Yeah,
want to like, find out?
Wow. You know, there's there's one other black person in this galaxy, and it was a woman, and I had sex. About that, that character, where she's like, "Oh, we were also were escaped stormtroopers." I thought that was okay.
I think so, yeah. And I would love to hear more about that story. And then that was like my idea going into like Force Awakens was when I first saw Finn,
yeah.
like take off his helmet or like not do what he was doing, I kind of saw that as. The Force Awakening in a lot of people because, like, you know, we always think of it as like the Jedi and they
yeah.
pick up like kids and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I thought, like the people who are awakening from this treatment, these are the people that are like Force sensitive and they're like trying to, you know, find the way, you know, in
right.
a sense. And they're, and that's what's kind of keeping them from conforming in a sense.
Sure. No, that actually would have been pretty good. And maybe Rian Johnson was onto something, showing that little kid with the broom, which
oh, yeah.
to be honest is like a blink and you would miss it kind of thing.
Oh,
the
yeah,
boy?
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
The broom
but
boy.
But that's the funny thing about that, if we're going to like talk about this movie, Rise of Skywalker, kind of wrapping things up, I really thought that was odd in Last Jedi. That image, I think, would have worked particularly well at the end of this movie to kind of, if this trilogy was going to, the sequel trilogy was going to be about, you know, nostalgia of Star Wars and kind of, you know, rebooting this and getting this back into the pop culture, I think that would have been a great image to end on. And I don't know why it was the second movie. Why was the end of the second movie?
That's a really good point. And yeah. it could have been like, where Star Wars go forward? And people
right.
are like, well, there's that broom boy. You
right,
know?
Right.
And that's like... I don't need to know what the next movie is going to be, but it would be like, here's what possibly could be the future of Star Wars.
Right.
Right. right.
Well, I think the way they wrapped it up, I think like you now have room. If you want to do something afterwards, you can. If you want to do something before, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do like their comics and novels that kind of happen in between, of course. But
yeah.
But I think that it kind of put a cap on it.
Mm.
Because I think people wanted that sequel trilogy. They always wanted that sequel trilogy. They even had like novels about it with Heir to the Empire and stuff like that.
Right.
And yeah. And it put a cap on it, finally. So now I feel like Disney finally has the freedom to do something different. And they're going to.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to disagree because I think they had that freedom to begin with. Because they could have, like, Anakin...
I don't think it would have been as successful, though.
I mean... If they had made a good movie for the number 7, and maybe not even call it number 7, it's just a brand new number 1 of a new trilogy, I think it could have made like the $2 billion that A Force Awakens did. Because again, it comes down to likable characters and cool spaceships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was fine with it. I thought it was a nice little hurrah. And you say it's not necessary, but like the actors from the original, like Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, all those people, they were here now, and I'm glad that they did what they did. It feels conclusive. I feel like they don't, like, you know, if they do like the Luke Skywalker story earlier, they could probably get a new actor, or they could
sure.
make an animated feature out.
Well,
or they
sorry,
make a comic.
How much earlier would you get for Luke Skywalker? Like when he's 10?
Post Jedi.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So like
within the 30-year gap.
Right.
Well, but they kind of already showed that it was like he's
training with his sister.
He's
training
Jedi
the Knights of,
well,
we don't know what happened during the Battle of Jakku or anything like that, you know?
No, we do. I think that's in the novelization Aftermath.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Aftermath is a series of novels. And people have complained that, just off topic, where they really, like, the Empire falls apart, like, really, really, really quickly when you look at the novelizations and that, and it doesn't make a lot of sense because... Like, still have all these Star Destroyers, and somehow they're, like, nothing, suddenly.
Yeah, and that's something that's coming up in, like... Well, you said you haven't really seen The Mandalorian at all, but...
I've seen about half of the
okay, I've
first
seen the first three, but it seems like there's still people that are Imperial.
Right, yeah, and like the dirty stormtroopers, and I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to clean anymore? Like, what is this? Anyway. All right, well, so let's wrap up, Rez. Skywalker, since you mentioned about the Mandalorian, so was it a success? And then we'll talk about, yeah, what's the future like for the movies? What's the future like for Star Wars in general? Yeah. So you said you liked it.
I enjoyed it, but it seems like it's getting a lot of mixed. I think there was so much controversy over Star Wars. There was like lovers, there was haters, there was people who liked this movie, there's people that liked that movie. If you like these movies, you're not a real Star Wars fan. If you like those movies, you're not a real Star Wars fan. And it's just like, I think this just went right in the middle. And it's got a 3.0 out of 5. And that's exactly like, I think it united. United Star Wars right there in the middle.
Sure.
And, I like to watch it again. I'm going to watch all of the movies again. I'm going to continue to read the comic books. I'm excited for the new line of comics that are going to come out that are between Empire and Jedi. I would like to read some of the material that comes post Jedi. And I'm excited to watch more Mandalorian because I love Dave Filoni stuff. And also the director, Jon Favreau, who was pre Vizsla in Clone Wars, doing the Mandalorian. That's awesome, man. I like episodic Star Wars, and I'm really curious to see what Project Luminous is going to be. we don't know too much, but it's supposed to be the next wave of Star Wars material is going to be what, like 400 years BSI.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Before Star Killer Incident.
Okay, I didn't know I had that name.
Well, that's the new timeline that they've introduced once this movie came out.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was the best of the three.
Yeah.
That's a pretty low bar.
Yeah.
Does anyone think I would put this trilogy as the worst of the three trilogies?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I kind of feel bad for the actors, and I can see why some of the frustration is coming through. Is that I think there was a lot of potential with those three characters. So the future of Star Wars, we kind of alluded to it. Let's break it down. Let's go simple. Is it a franchise for kids now?
Yeah.
Can it still be a franchise for kids?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I think they're gonna have to work hard to make the movies kid friendly again, but I think like a lot of the supporting, I think Mandalorian kids can watch.
Yeah, my kids watch that.
And so, but I think as far as movies, these aren't very kid friendly. I couldn't imagine trying to get my daughter to sit through one of them.
They're a little long and boring sometimes, especially The Last Jedi. My son couldn't make it through that one, but he still really really wanted to watch the new one. A lot of the shows like The Mandalorian, also The Resistance. We watched that together. I think they still have those shows. I think things like The Resistance gets a little too kiddie, but I've only watched the first season, and like Clone Wars, it might get a little bit deeper. But
would that be like the Ewoks was? You know, like the making like kid cartoons.
Dude, the second Ewoks, traumatizing, man. Like when like Sindel was like running from like those Zordak dudes. And she's like, these are the life flights with my family. And then they like blink, 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 and they just start going out one by one they all die.
Not everything was G.I. Joe. Like, there was death. Like, I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi dies in A New Hope.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Not a corpse. Yeah. But actually, do we see the Skywalkers? Uncle Owen and...
Yep. The little charred bodies are lying there right outside.
Yeah, right.
So we know they died,
Yeah.
So, I mean, kids... know about death?
Sure, and I think that's fine. But it gets a little, like, it just, they can watch these movies, they can watch them, especially the third one. I think the third one's probably the most fun for them and a kids to enjoy.
Sure, I would definitely agree with that. And I think maybe they need to think, I guess I'm moving away from, is it just for kids, but just about the future of Star Wars, is they need to move away from the baggage and figure out a way to do that. And when you talk about this Project Luminous, that might be a way to do it, as you said it, in a different time, different period.
It's supposed to be the Republic, the old Republic in its glory, you know?
Yeah. But then you can start over.
Yoda's like, still going to be alive. Well, he's like, what, like 700 something?
Oh, no. 900?
Yeah, so 400 years, he'll be like, in his prime.
Yeah, he'd be.
And you'll have like, not like middle aged Yoda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you, like, you're free to just introduce whatever. Right. And it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Like in keeping with other things, or it doesn't have to be like a nod and a wink or an Easter egg to something else, and then adult people can then rediscover or discover this particular period of Star Wars. So
yeah, I think it put them in a place where they can kind of do something and they can kind of plan it out a little bit better and not have to worry about, you know,
but I think that was
pandering to certain audiences and stuff like that.
And I think that was a big problem with this final trilogy. Is that they didn't plan it. It was pretty clear, or if they did plan it, they didn't make anybody have to stick to it.
But then again, if they did plan it, like, what if they planned it wrong, you know? Like, I think they were really trying to gauge the reception.
It's not really a wise strategy. I mean, there's a possibility that we could plan it wrong, so let's not plan it all.
In a sense, I feel like after watching the third one, I feel like they had a rough outline of where they wanted to go with it.
Do you think Palpatine was always in the mix? They said,
well,
I mean, Abrams said it was always going to be Palpatine.
Yeah.
And then I mean, it's a damn if you do, damn if you don't.
One thing that I think Star Wars as a franchise has a weakness, the weakness of Star Wars, the Star Wars franchise, is George Lucas being the Moses of like what is right and wrong and, you know, delivering the word that is Star Wars. And now that he's out of the picture, you don't have, I don't think that the expanded universe was ever treated legitimately, and they had writers and people do things in that expanded universe that's just like, it's inconsequential, it's not really pushing the characters forward, it's not doing anything very major, so you don't have that to go back into like the Marvel universe has. You have several writers and artists takes on these characters, and Star Wars doesn't have that. So they kind of have to do it from, you know, they kind of start from scratch if they're going to give a new feel and a kind of a new era to this property.
Well, like but that's one of the reasons why I like the new canon as well, because I never read a lot of legendary stuff, and I always got confused between like G canon and C canon and D canon and all the different canons, and I'm really happy that now there's that one canon.
Yeah, right.
And everything else is legendaries. And that's kind of bringing it back to what I said before. That's what I wish Marvel had. Like, I'm not talking about MCU, but whenever I get into the comics, I always see, like, these reboots and, like, is it 616 or is it not? And then, like, and they always, like, kind of reinventing it, and it's inconsistent. And but I'm liking how this new... So my IP of choice ended up being Star Wars, because I like how, like, they have, like, the Watchers of the Holocron and the historians, like, checking continuity and making everything, like, kind of fits in there. I mean, there's probably a few discrepancies, but for the most part, they're doing a really good job, and they have, like, this 100 years planned out by the minute, almost, and I'm like, it's a lot of fun just trying to fill in those little holes for me, man. And now they're doing something 400 years earlier, and then there's going to be another little leg of time that we can kind of explore, you know?
Yeah, no, I think we're just going to have to get used to the fact that there'll be different people putting stuff into the universe. And I guess, like, with Star Wars, as opposed to the Marvel, where you had, like, a long time, like, decades, where people were making these comics and people were more used to the fact that you're always having different creative teams, so people different voices. Well, yeah, like you said, like Star Wars, George Lucas was like the Moses, so people were like, this is one person's vision, and now we're gonna have to say no, it's not anymore. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned about like maybe a lack of respect for the expanded universe,
because
it was this is BattleTech, and it was
Stay on target.
And he said, like, when they relaunched, like, BattleTech...
Stay on target.
About a decade ago with a new fiction line, and they're like, we want to get real writers. And not the guys who previously wrote it. And then they had these people writing these stories. And it's not like they were bad, but people weren't responding. Original BattleTech writers, and said, can you please come back and write some BattleTech books?
Happened with George Lucas a little bit, and then brought him back in as a consultant.
Well, for, like, exactly. And then... Yeah, people are, like, maybe don't respect or...
I want to see... I want the Abrams cut where the son of Mortis is really the, like, Rey's father. Come on, man.
Abrams cut. Release the Abrams cut.
Right.
Yeah. So. Mostly they filmed this guy, the Doctor Who guy, is the son of Mortis, and they cut all of his parts out.
Yeah.
You.
Son of who?
Wow. The Mortis arc. Go check that out.
In all right.
Clone Wars.
All right.
Father, son, and daughter.
Oh, those?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I actually wasn't a big fan of those. Like the light and the dark. No, okay. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
And also, I like how it revealed the true nature.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, so I guess we'll say overall positive for Rise of Skywalker. I think of the best of the trilogy. I think you said Last Jedi is the best? Or
No.
Force Awakens? All right.
I just like Star Wars. I can't choose one Star Wars. It's all Star Wars to me, man.
All my kids, all my children. Yeah.
It's all just one thing.
But, you know, sure. Yeah. They're all my children. I can't choose which is the best or the worst, but Last Jedi would be the worst. And Jeremy, you would...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really don't feel like I want to go back and watch this trilogy again, but
sure.
I mean, I guess as far as like you know, momentum and giving you a you know, fun experience in the theater, it was decent, but I don't enjoy it as part of this trilogy, as part of the story, and I don't think it gave me kind of resolution, you know, kind of this a satisfaction that I wanted.
Okay,
yeah,
but all right.
But that's
so excited for Clone Wars Season 7?
Yes.
Sure. Siege of Mandalore? Ah!
All right, yeah. Well, that's just three people's opinions on Rise of Skywalker. Disagree with yours. What did you think? Is there something that we didn't talk about with Rise of Skywalker or with the Star Wars in general that you think we should have?
Yellow lightsaber, man.
Oh,
Sentinel. What is that all about?
I don't care. Like, basically, he had a purple one. Honestly,
that's because he's a BMF.
No, but just because like I want a purple lightsaber, and it's just give her a yellow one. I don't care.
No. Well.
All
comments.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So if you like this video, please subscribe and give us a like.
Yeah. Comments.
And and let us know. Let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm. I have brain damage because I like these movies.
That's all right.
Bye.
Through RPG. We average 9 new titles a day. That's over 60 a week. And we've got well over 15,000 RPG titles online right now. Drive Through RPG, the one true source for RPGs.
Oh,
recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idolredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.